This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, welcome to our latest edition of Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster, Evan Jenkins. NFL draft is going to be here before you know it. It's closing in on a couple weeks, and there's all kinds of debate. And I've got to tell you, Evan, a lot of the debates about Jalen Carter, the defensive tackle. We just can't stop talking about Jalen Carter in this town. It's Jalen Carter 24/7. And the only time I was interrupted, it was Lamar Jackson for a couple days. But, I am somebody who has said, and I'll say it over and over again, if I were the Lions, I wouldn't go near Jalen Carter. And the reason why is I've got a long list here, right? You do the old balance sheet. Jalen Carter's obviously a first-round talent. Obviously, he's a top-10 pick, maybe top 5. I'll even go along with some who suggest he's number 1 just for the sake of this conversation. But what about the list of the downside? The red flags. And they're way more than somebody who just calls up on the radio, and I appreciate y'all calling up. Or somebody who's a talk show host, I appreciate all my colleagues. And I don't even know how Evan feels about this. We haven't had that discussion. The only thing I know about Evan, he doesn't like Greg Campy very much.
So he's a fine person. Just
I heard you the other day, man, or like a week ago or so, and I'm like, wow. Take it in the NCAA tournament. totally regressed there. But, just on this subject of Jalen Carter, I want people to think about this. First, on the accident, he was drag racing with somebody, right? A support person was in that car, a teammate of his, Wilcox, a defensive lineman, died. A couple other teammates survived the crash. But he was in the other car drag racing. He's gone through the court date, but he's already on probation. So one little slip up, what probation means? It means, hey, you know what? You're not on probation anymore. And that's the way it works. It's not like, hey, you know what? He's on probation forever. It could be a minor violation relatively. Another, big speeding ticket, something like that. It's going to land him in some trouble. I'm no lawyer, but I know enough about this to understand that. Secondly, he obviously, and this, it's just driven me, I don't know if loopy is just hyperbole or whatever, but listening to Todd McShay and Mel Kiper with their discussion about Carter, right? And how he would fit the Lions and all this stuff. On a podcast with McShay, Mel Kiper, what he evaluated. And I'm thinking to myself, look, I respect these guys. They do a great job. I just fundamentally disagree with this premise. I saw it. Will Birdfield wrote a wonderful story about this in which he just presents the facts on it. Just read that. First of all, Mel Kiper's like, well, you know, this is a guy that, look, he doesn't show up for practice, things like that. But you know what? Once he gets in the game, he's a gamer. He played through an ankle injury and all this, and he could have opted out. You know, so, okay, we should give him a Boy Scout Award for that. Then the other one was Todd McShay saying, well, you know what? He played his best football down the stretch. It just wasn't true. You know, look, everybody watched the college football playoff semifinal. I would think the Ohio State-Georgia game was maybe the best game in the history of that, although there have been some other good games with Clemson and Alabama. That's not the point. But C.J. Stroud dominated that game. And he hadn't dominated any games with his feet, but he actually did with his feet and his arm in there. Probably may have landed him the first overall pick in the NFL draft. He was that good. Jalen Carter played 52 snaps in that game. How many tackles did he have, Evan?
Three, maybe. Is that high? Okay.
One. All right. I mean, he was lost in that game. I went and looked at the game and, you know, just to kind of verify what that was and looked at his Pro Football Focus score. It was his lowest of the season, I believe, in the biggest game. And he had a low score actually in the next game against TCU, but it really didn't matter because they were so dominant in that particular game. I don't see where he's this generational talent that you just have to have. And his position isn't one of those positions you just have to have.
I agree with that. Now, Pat, the one thing I want to ask, and you would know this better than most, is like if he has character issues, right? I have seen stories written along the lines of how the Lions coaching staff could be something or someone that would help Carter. Do you necessarily agree with that? Or do you think that one bad seed can ruin a really good thing? And I don't even know if he is a bad seed within the locker room. I'm just saying, with all the attention on him for not football related reasons, if that could be a bad thing.
Well, Evan, on you know, radio, I would say to you, hogwash. But if, since I'm on a podcast, I believe I can say horse shit.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's horse shit. Okay. Now, I'm just being honest with you. They got to worry about 53 guys. They got to worry about the other team. They've got to worry about getting everybody prepared. They've got to worry about all their other draft picks. They don't need to babysit one guy. All right? One guy to babysit. No. All right? So, yeah, you know, they're just building their culture. You know, I hate that term, but, you know, finally the Lions are getting it right. The last thing they need is somebody to come in and tear it down. And it's even if he plays well early in the year, and everybody be genuflecting and all this stuff if he were on the team, you never know when it's going to slide off. And I'll give you another factor here, too, because I was just beginning my factor on it. All right. You know what the guaranteed contract of the sixth overall pick in the draft is going to be?
In total?
Total.
Probably like $30 million bucks.
28. Right? Great guess. It'll be between 28, probably a little more than that. It was 27.6 or something last year.
Okay.
Now, you got somebody who had motivation problems, obviously, right? Obviously didn't learn a lesson from being stopped by a cop, going 90 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone, and getting off on the ticket, probably, I'm guessing, because he's a Georgia football player. And you're going to hand him $28 million, guaranteed. He doesn't have to play for it. Guaranteed. What's his motivation? Oh, he's just a good teammate, and he's, you know, he's going to respond to one of Dan Campbell's speeches about getting the powder out of the Coke. You know what I'm saying? You know? I mean, seriously. Think about that. That's never brought up in some of these ridiculous conversations about it. So, one, I don't think he's the generational talent who's going to, you know, save the world in the Lions. Two, I don't believe that it's worth the risk when you consider the reward. The risk is huge. There's a long list of things. The reward, it could be outstanding, but it's like, you know, you got that little itch and you're looking at a bet and somehow you think, you know, the Tigers are going to beat the Yankees with, you know, I don't know, one of their worst pitchers on the mound. You say, I'm going to take those odds and do it or something. I don't know. You get that itch and you do it. Fine.
Yeah.
But if you're the Lions and you're finally getting somewhere business-wise, it makes no sense. And I understand how this works. I do. Because when I say that, people think you – I've heard this. People say, you're anti-Jalen Carter. No, I'm not anti-Jalen Carter. You hate Jalen Carter. No, I don't hate Jalen Carter. It wouldn't bother me in the least if the Lions took him and he became a great player, and I would say my observation was wrong. You know, and it was a risk-reward odds, and that's how you do things in sports. That's what analytics are about. Wouldn't have a problem with it. Hope the best for him. Nobody's rooting for him to do poorly. I never do that. But as far as a business decision, it makes no sense for them to do that. None. And all the rhetoric, people want to fit it in. We have an issue in our town. It's, you know, if the latest position that was a bust in our draft in the minds of the people, we'll never take that position. That's why when I bring up Christian Gonzalez, people just get so mad at me. It's not that he's a corner. It's that he's an exceptional upside. He's only 20 years old. He's off the charts testing. He played extraordinarily well. And there's no issues with him other than, hey, man, this guy really works hard. The other part of it is Will Anderson, if he's there, no issues. Will Anderson, to me, is one on my board. If he's there, I don't care what position it is, outside of quarterbacks. Two is Gonzalez. Three, I would say, Skoronski from Northwestern. And I would say four, actually, is Bijan Robinson, because I think that's a wild card. I've hated what the Lions have done in the past and said it about with the trading up for running backs and everything. But I think Bijan Robinson could be a genuine difference maker. But you got to consider the running back position in there. And there are other three technique tackles available in this draft. So that's how I look at it. All the talk about Jalen Wilson or Jalen Carter and Tyree Wilson, you know, to me has been way overblown for what they do for the Lions. Wilson has nothing to do with deportment or conduct. Carter has everything to do with deportment and conduct, you know. And I don't think either one of those situations the Lions would get scorched with it. You know, people bringing up Randy Moss. By the way, that was the 20th pick in the draft, not sixth.
Right.
So that's how I look at it. And I tell me, Evan, do I make good points or am I full of crap?
Well, I think you make good points. I think that you have a way that you would like to see the Lions go with their draft, and there's absolutely no problem with it. I mean, even when you listed your top four, you didn't necessarily list a three technique or a defensive lineman kind of guy, which is fine because, I mean, this is why we have this job, is to talk through it, to give opinions. And you're right, they're not all going to be right or wrong, but usually one thing I've learned about working with you for almost 20 years, when you believe something, you usually have been pretty spot on with that belief. And you're right. Maybe Jalen Carter goes on to another team and he's exceptional, but I'm a firm believer that things happen for a reason. And just because player performs in City X doesn't mean that they would have done the same thing here. And I'm a firm believer in that, like where I don't think all is equated equally. So do I like Jalen Carter? Yeah, but that's based on me watching him in a game where he's holding up, maybe it was Bryce Young and then number one in the other hand, because that's me. I'm a highlight guy. You know what I mean? I'm not going back, unless it's Michigan State, to go back and watch plays like that. So that's where I would trust your opinion. And I feel there's a lot of people here that see highlights and that's what they go off of. Not a complete product, because at the end of the day, all of these guys, there's how many picks, 270 some odd picks. They all have great highlight videos. You know what I mean? Like, we can pick and choose that kind of stuff, but it's a total work. And you're right. I mean, I didn't think of it until you mentioned it. The $28 million. How motivated are you after you get a fat ass payday, right?
It's guaranteed too.
I know it's with guarantees. Me, you give me that money, probably not going to try as hard tomorrow at work. I'm just being honest with you.
And truthfully, you know, you could say, well, if he does some things and violates his contract, he's still getting a signing bonus over $17
million. Yeah, and then you're stuck without that player, too.
You're stuck without that player. You've blown that draft pick. And the other thing, too, is your point's well taken about what team you go to and about, like, hey, you know, it's different here now. But this it's a fragile thing right now. It just started here. And I've seen it in the past where they've taken players – and how it's hurt the team. Two examples are wide receivers. One of them was Charles Rogers about 20 years ago or whatever now. I love Charles Rogers. He was a great guy. Honestly, I know he had problems. But if you ever talked to him, you would like him. And I'm very saddened by his passing. But, he had issues. And they didn't take Andre Johnson. Things would have been a lot different for the Lions if they took Andre Johnson to pick after, who had all the intangibles. In addition to the raw physical skill. The other one was a wide receiver named Mike Williams that they took. You know, a guy shows up, he's number one on Mel Kiper's board, he drops to 10. Lions, even with Rodgers and Roy Williams and everything, they're saying, oh man, this guy's going to be the red zone. The guy showed up like with a beer gut playing wide receiver. It was like 270 pounds, you know, and he lost a little weight and had some success, minimal, with the Seahawks eventually. But it was a terrible pick, the whole attitude thing. I'm old enough to remember the Reggie Rogers thing. He was a first-round pick for the Lions. Out on Woodward there where the circle is up in Pontiac, there was an accident. Two kids from Waterford were killed, and Reggie Rogers being in a halo. And I remember Sean Rogers, who was a second-round pick by Matt Millen, who was a great football player.
Oh, yeah.
And they got him with some kind of ankle injury, but – He couldn't control what he was doing, all right? And he never reached the level that he should have been as a player. And I don't know, there was something missing there. So when you are in that spot, somebody showing up every day, somebody performing, you got to perform at a high level. You get the players that can do that but are there. You know, you don't get the distractions. And what did they not have last year that was unusual for the Lions?
Any kind of distractions.
Any kind of distract. You think, you think Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to get in trouble, you know, just looking at him or seeing how he handles? No.
After seeing his son. No.
No. Or Aiden Hutchinson?
No, not at all, because not all they care about is football. And
Rodrigo? No. None of those guys. None of them.
Well, if there's one quote, I don't know if you have heard it or not, but it's going to stick with me all offseason. Michael Brockers was on Good Morning Football. And he's talking about, you know, this upcoming Lions team because everybody is talking about them, whether it's here or national. Right. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but I hope that they're humble and hungry still. Because once you start reading press clippings and stuff, maybe that goes away a little bit. And it made me think because coming out of Hard Knocks, everybody was really high on the Detroit Lions. And obviously that's based on a TV show making them look good. But how did they start last year, Pat? 1-6?
Yeah.
That's not being humble and hungry. You know what I mean? And now then once it got settled, they turned the ship around. But I guess to bring it back full circle, the reason I bring that up is you don't want a guy that's not humble, not hungry coming into this locker room right now. And what I see with Jalen Carter just on the surface, I don't know the young man personally, is maybe he's not those two things.
Well, you saw the pro day, right? Did you see that video?
I did. And so I have a question about that. And I don't take too much out of it because, in my opinion, with the defensive drills that they do, like going through six different cones like that, can you beat the guy in front of them? I don't know if you need to beat six guys, but can you beat the one? The one question I had, though, was how they said he gained weight, 9 pounds, right?
Well, the other part was he could only do half the drills, right? This is the pro day, the one time he gets to show it off. He's at the end, he's doing the, they're tipping his ankle up because he's got cramps. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, way heavy. He's, instead of being three technique tackle size at 300, which what he was listed at Georgia, he's 325. He's nose tackle size.
So that was my question.
It was a little bit, come on.
But is there
red flags everywhere? Come on, people.
But Pat, just to play devil's advocate, is there a chance, and I don't know this answer, you would know better than I, that a team could have told him, we're drafting you in the top five, but we want you heavier?
So go to the Burger Kings before they start closing the franchises in Detroit.
I'm just curious.
No, it sounds good, Evan. That's great. You know what? I might use that as a topic on Saturday or something. Hey, you think he really did that?
I'm just curious because teams tell players we want you in a certain weight or something like that. And maybe, I don't think his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, coming out and saying he's only visiting with top 10 teams. And if a team calls him and says that they don't even have interest in trading into the top 10, we're not even talking to you. That's stupid, in my opinion.
Well, Drew Rosenhaus is,
he's one of the best.
No, he's not.
No,
yeah, he is. I have a great deal of respect for Drew Rosenhaus, but he's not one of the best agents, honestly. The fact that Carter actually has him as his agent, tells me something, too. Now, he's a kid from Florida, and Drew Rosenhaus has a big inroads with players down there. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to say this, but if he had an agent like, say, Tom Condon or some of these other agents that you never hear anything about, but they're actually driving everything behind the scene. And I know that uniquely because I actually was a beat writer, and I know where all the information comes from in terms of who's distributed. I can look at it and tell you where it came from. It comes from agents. So the smart agents, they don't say anything. They don't say anything. All right. And the only time even Drew Rosenhaus would say something was if he felt like he had to say it. So what he's doing is trying to create a leverage situation, which is probably a good thing. But sometimes that can backfire because at that league, I can guarantee you from talking to executives and talking to agents down through the years that when they saw that Drew Rosenhaus said it, there were a lot of rolled eyes there like, hey, man,
Oh, yeah. And there's even reports now that teams have taken them off of their draft board completely.
Well, the Raiders did because the Henry Ruggs thing, it's a drive.
Well, I think that would be a safe bet for them.
Yeah. So, actually, I looked at the latest Pro Football Focus mock draft. They have one every week, and they kind of change it a little bit all the way on. But, I look at all the mock drafts, and I enjoy them. And, they had Gonzalez going to them at 7 and Carter going to they had Carter going 5 to the Seahawks and the Lions taking Wilson. And I wanted to address the Tyree Wilson thing a little bit.
Sure.
I watched two full games of him. All right. One was a neutral game. He didn't have a good game, bad game. But I wanted to see Bijan Robinson too. So I watched the game against Texas. And in that game, he did okay. And the other game, I went and I looked at what his best game was statistically. It was against North Carolina State on the road. He was a very good quarterback in Leary, who, at the time was considered one of the better players. And Texas Tech's defense played very well in that game. And so did Tyree Wilson. He split a guy to get a sack. He beat a guy around on a sack. But I don't think Evan, when you visualize Tyree Wilson, what do you visualize position-wise that he's going to play? You're looking at the Lions and their defensive line. You're sitting up there in the press box, eating your hot dog and, drinking your soda and having that box of popcorn and the Lions logo on it and everything. And you're looking down on the field. You've been there 1,000 times. Where do you think he's playing?
I would guess he plays that role of like where Charles Harris just trying to come off the edge. But not necessarily a DN, but more of a stand-up linebacker type.
That's exactly what he is. And then I double-checked it because I didn't see him with his hand in the ground.
Yeah.
And I looked up the statistics on it. 500 and some snaps, over roughly 400 of them at outside linebacker, standing up. Only 60 snaps with his hand on the ground. As a defensive end, and a couple where he was inside, like 5.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a couple where actually they had him out on the slot, which I would have loved to have seen, but I didn't see that. He is a stand-up outside edge linebacker. And he's not real good in like pass coverage type of thing, but he's good running downhill. And he's bigger, you know, you look at him, he stands out next to his teammates, you know, because he's tall and he's got long arms. And he's an impressive athlete. He's definitely first round draft pick, top 10 pick maybe, that type of thing. But where does he fit the Lions? Is he a three technique? No. He's not going to play three technique tackle for you. So, you know, I think most fans, and you're pretty astute in what you said there, are visualizing him as a D end, kind of what Kaminsky was playing at the end of last year in that type of situation where you got a nose, you got two stand up linebackers, right, in their base defense, which they don't often run it just like that. And then three technique tackles. He's not a three technique. He's an edge. So what about Houston? Where does he fit? You know, is it, you know, totally drafting for position of need? Is he really the best player there? Are you talking about somebody who, you know, didn't dominate in the least? He did not dominate. He was really good in the one game, especially that I saw. He did not dominate. He wasn't a dominant player. This isn't like watching Sue in the Big 12 championship game.
Right.
One of these players. Or watching Hutchinson at times last year. That's my point about it. You know, everybody's kind of infatuated. They need defense. Why? Yeah, they do. But there's a chance they might get a player a little bit later if they take the best player available at six or a quarterback, and they can, you know, get just as good a player perhaps, you know, a little bit later if they, you know, go that direction. So there's a number of three technique tackles. There's a lot of edges in this draft. There's a lot of corners. There's a lot of defensive help. Excellent off-the-ball linebackers. So they can address all those things with the picks that they have. But they don't have to take Tyree Wilson, you know, out of position of need. He's not a three technique. If they take him, that would make some sense, and it would be cool, you know, to have both him and Hutchinson. You got to pick your poison. But they already got an excellent pass rush type of guy for that spot.
Yeah.
And then you look at, you know, a number of different ways to do it. And the other interesting part about this draft, what if Levis and Richardson are there sixth overall?
I feel you kind of got to take one.
Are they ever going to be in a position to do that? Now, look, Anthony Richardson's obviously gifted. I've told you 1,000 times, since we've been evaluating this particular draft, I don't get it about Will Levis. I honestly don't.
He's a big kid, I'll tell you that much, watching his pro day.
He's great, man. He's taking pictures of himself, selfies on Instagram. You know, he's ripped, man. But, it's not a bodybuilding contest, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Mike McMahon ripped too, but.
Right. So
I would take one, but I'm also not an NFL GM. I mean, I play one in Madden, but that's about it.
Well, I play one on the radio like every day, and thank God for everybody that I'm not. But that's the way I look at the Carter thing, and that's the way I look at Tyree Wilson. You know, and the Lions take the best player. And people are mad at me about the whole Christian Gonzalez thing. They won't acknowledge it and all that. And I get that, man. Evan, how many times have I been there before with this?
Numerous.
And how many times have I been right? Now, that doesn't mean I'm right here again. I have no idea. I have no inside information. A couple times I did. But I have no idea what they're going to do there or what they're thinking. I just know that the narrative that's been constant with Lions fans about it, and a lot of my colleagues here at 97 won the ticket when I've heard their shows, and I love them all. I love the Lions fans, and I love the conversation. I just don't agree with it. So I'm not going to change my mind to be, you know, super popular. Right. And if I'm taking an edge or somebody, I can do that. Because you can put Will Anderson anywhere on the field, and they're going to have to account for him. Wherever he goes, you know, you're going to have to account for him. And that corner it's not just a corner. This is not Jeff Okuda. This is somebody who's a lot faster, bigger, and is a freakish athlete, and he's not even 21 yet. There's a high probability Jeff Okuda played his best football his last year at Ohio State. this kid is just starting to scratch the surface. And the idea that the Lions secondary set because they signed a couple corners and in a real good safety is not true. None of those guys are signed beyond next year, with the exception, I think, of Walker. And Okuda's probably, I don't know, he's got a salary cap hit that I think is 12th among corners. That's absurd. And I don't know what the buyout is. I'm getting conflicting if there's any buyout or not there, or dead cap hit. But, you know, I don't see it. He didn't even play him at the end of last year. Do you remember that?
Oh, I
do. He was healthy. He was a healthy scratch, they say, in hockey. So, you know, that's how it's going to kind of play out. But we'll have a number of podcasts before the draft, you know, and I'll do a number of articles on this. We'll also do some baseball stuff as well, with the Tiger season starting and the minor leagues kicking off.
And, right. Bradley Green and Spencer Torkelson are the new Maryson Mantle.
Yeah, and it's getting near draft season, so to speak. You got the NHL draft coming up this summer, the NBA draft, you know, with the Pistons, and a lot to get into coming up here shortly. So we'll be really hitting the podcast here very hard. And thanks for listening. Busting Balls, by the way, it's about drafts, prospects, and the future. And like Evan always tells me, hey, like our podcast, download it.
Review it. Sure.
Review it with a positive review. Hopefully you liked it. On the Apple iTunes Store or Google Play Store, Odyssey.com. And check us out. We always post it up on our Twitter accounts, Pat Caputo 98 and the King of the KC, that legendary account of Evans. And, of course, 97.1 The Ticket Twitter account and the 97.1 The Ticket Facebook page. Yeah, we'll talk to you in a few days, actually. Great. Thanks, Evan. I appreciate it like always, buddy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.